You have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1. I've got to be very careful. I almost said Joshua, and I'm very known for that at my home church. I preached the entire message. I had Joshua and a whale. Me and him was having a good time. To look down and saw Frida with a little tag in front of her going, Jonah. Messed up my whole sermon. Of course, none of y'all ever done anything like that, I know. But sometimes my brain takes a wrong turn, gets on the wrong road, and don't see the turnaround spot. Lord. And that's not even because I'm old. It was doing that when I was young. We do have a birthday today, but I was sworn to secrecy, so I can't tell you that it's Sister Goolsby's birthday. But the secrecy part is how many? I heard 39. That's all we can say. God bless you, sis. We love you. Jonah chapter 1, verse 5. And then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, Hey, you're beautiful. I am glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Now, I noticed a while ago that when I said something about somebody carving a bench and put a little damper on things, and folks got to worrying about me making them pay for something, some of y'all were trying to figure out which young person done it, but it ain't where young people sit. So some of you older folks better straighten up, put your pocket knife up. Oh, hello? Smile. I was at the church one time, I got a note, said, you see somebody talking, you tell them to get quiet. I saw the guy that gave me the note. So especially that night when he went to talking, I said, Sir, you mind? You told me to get on to you. Lord. I had his paper. It was one of the men of the church. He want me to get after the kid, and he's over running in mouth while I'm preaching. Think about it next time. I want to talk to you this morning on a subject I'd simply entitled The Pagans Are Praying While Jonah Is Asleep. Man, Jonah is in a fix. He's running from God. I don't know if y'all have ever read the story of Jonah. If you hadn't, y'all ought to read it. It's an awesome story. Here's a guy wanting to work for God. You know, we got all kind of folks come up, man, I want to work. And then God give them something to do, and they don't want to do it. Hello? I asked the lady one time, she was doing something. I said, can you pick up that paper? She said, I'll pray about it. I said, forget it. We'll find somebody wants to do something. Glory. Why? And it wasn't while I was here. Don't look at me like that. Glory. But we got folks that think they got to pray over picking up paper. If there's paper on the floor, folks, pick it up. Oh, you ain't got to pray about stuff, just ought to be done. Amen. You know, somebody told me they won't teach Sunday school class, and I was talking to them about it, and it was at a church. And so I told the pastor, I said, they told me they won't teach Sunday school. He said, it's amazing. I've offered them 3 classes, and they had to pray about it so long they never took them. Glory. Here Jonah was, God, give me something to do. He said, okay, go to Nineveh, have revival. He said, not me, buddy. Ain't no way that's going to happen. Now, let me tell you something, folks. He didn't want to go to Nineveh because he hated Ninevites. I just love for God to tell some of y'all to go certain places and witness and watch you. You go. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're a Jew, you wouldn't want to go to Nineveh either, because Nineveh was one of the wickedest cities in the world. And they had an army that was bad. When the Ninevite army defeated somebody, they didn't just defeat them. They didn't take prisoners. They killed everybody that surrendered, took the heads off, and then piled up the way back to their city to let them know, you want to fight again, this is what happens to you. That way, if that army started to attack, every time they passed the crossroads, they had to go, you know, fellas, we really don't want to do this. Glory. When they captured a general, well, they just had them stuffed like we do deer and stuff and put them in the living room. And they'd go down and say, hey, fellas, this was a colonel over there in Syria I whipped. I got him stuffed so you can see him. And I got this guy preserved. He was over there in Persia, and I took him down. And that was a big thing. Their trophy room was full of the generals they had defeated. And let me tell you something. They hated Jews with a passion. Why? Because of kinfolk. I don't know why, but let's face it. Abraham came from this area, so they are kin. Nod your head. But, I mean, here he is told to go give the Ninevites a message, and he's like, I won't make it through the front gate. One of them will have me hung up on a street corner somewhere. I ain't going. And to prove he wasn't going, he went right the opposite way where God wanted him. Instead of going to the east, he headed directly west, directly opposite where God wanted him to go. You know, church, say some of y'all, that the biggest problem you got in your life is God's trying to pull you one way, and you're doing everything you can to go in the other direction, and you're thinking, if I get far enough over here, God won't ever be able to use me. Amen. You say, wait a minute, preacher, that can't happen. It's what happened to me. Every time I got in church, the reason I got out of church was God started dealing me to be a preacher. I didn't realize then that I was a fifth generation preacher and that I was going to end up preaching whether I wanted to or not. It was just a matter of time for me having to give in to what God had for me in my life. I found out after my first sermon, my dad said, the day you were born, God spoke to me and said, you were going to take my place. My dad was a backslid preacher. Amen. And I ended up being a preacher. You say, well, preacher, what got you in church? I'd get out of church and I'd try to get worse and worse, and I figured if I got bad enough, God would finally leave me alone. Lo and behold, he just kept digging until he got me where he wanted me. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what good did you do to run? None. I just ruined my life, messed up a lot of things that I could have used for the glory of God if I'd been smart enough to turn that way to start with. Here's Jonah running west when he ought to be going east. He's headed to Tarshish. I mean, that's as far as the world concerned he could go, because they didn't believe there's anything out there but water. So when you pass Tarsus on the tip of the area of Portugal, past the rock of Gibraltar, they thought you just went out there and fell off the earth. So he was going as far to the west as he could go from where God wanted him to be. And he jumps this boat and he's headed that way. Can I tell you, if you run from God, he'll find a way to turn you around every once in a while. He'll give you opportunities to get where you need to be. And here he is in this ship. It's doing good. And next thing you know, that thing runs into a Euroculean wind. Those are what that is. That's a Mediterranean hurricane. You'll find another one happen. It's amazing, the only two listed that we know of. Now, I know they happen over there, but there's only two listed in the Bible. One of them's when Jonah was running from God, and the other one was when Paul was going where God wanted him to go. But the people weren't listening. And the Bible said in both places, God sent the wind that hit the boat. In Jonah's case, he told the guys how to save the boat. In Paul's shape, he come out and told the fellas, be a good cheer. We're going to make it, but the boat's gone. Glory. I don't know, church. If I had a man of God tell me the boat's gone, I'm in the middle of water, don't know where land is, I'm not going to be real happy. But I want you to notice something. This boat starts rocking. It's running through water. Any of y'all ever been out on the ocean in a storm? Some of you have. We got some Navy men probably have. I was on a shrimp boat one time. We got caught in a squall off a hurricane. I made God promises I ain't never going to be able to keep. All I want to do is find land. It didn't help that I just got through reading Jaws a week or two before I got on that stinking boat. Amen. And I'm on the back of that boat. I got a life jacket on both sides, got them tied together because I wanted buoyancy. I mean, I'm in a 60-foot boat, and there were waves coming over, and we'd go over the wave, and that boat was so long it wouldn't reach the top of that wave before we'd break over, and it'd flip, and you'd hear the propellers in the air before we went back down. Man, it was like a ride at Six Flags going down the other side of that thing. And the bottom of that boat would go out into the water, and all of a sudden he'd come back up, and I was back there. And my brother-in-law looked at me. He said, that guy driving the boat knows what he's doing. Don't be afraid. And I grabbed him. I said, his lips is white. He's sweating. He's scared as I am. Don't tell. Get over here and leave me alone. You know, I can imagine how these guys felt, even though they were sailors. They weren't used to being in a boat that was coming apart. And notice what happened. They started throwing stuff overboard to lighten the boat. I thought that's what they was going to do, and since they couldn't throw the shrimp over, I figured I'd be one of the biggest things to lighten the boat. I mean, I weighed 330 at the time, and I'm thinking, I'm a big light. They chunked me overboard. Hello? One of them said, get downstairs. I said, uh-uh, it goes over. I want up here where I can swim. Hello? Man, these guys got so upset, they started praying. They're calling on all kind of gods. See, church, have you noticed what's going on in the world? The world's coming apart, the seams. We got financial difficulty everywhere, and people are talking to Krishna, and they're offering sacrifices to the ancestors, and they're praying to Buddha, and they're trying to get Muhammad to do stuff. I mean, they're praying, they're seeking their gods with everything they got. But can you notice something? The man of God who knew the real God, who could have really solved the problem, is down in the bottom of the boat sound asleep, because what's going on outside ain't bothering him. Can I tell you where we are in the church world? We got a world falling apart outside, and the church is acting like it's okay, and we've basically gone down in the bottom of the boat and we've gone to sleep, and we're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. But can I tell you, if we can ever get to that place, we wake up and call on the name of the Lord. I've got a God who has promised in his word he will hear and he will answer, and God will do something in our lives. Could you say amen? You say, well, preacher, do you believe that's going to turn things around? I believe we're on a road to destruction. I don't think we're going to turn around. I think the Bible said things are going to get so bad, even God's people are going to be crying, "Even so, come more quickly." We ain't got there yet. Some of y'all so happy. Come on, church. Y'all see them TV preachers? Man, they'd hate for the Lord to come and mess up their finances. Come on, church. They just so blessed. Church, I'm blessed, but I ain't blessed so bad I can't leave. Hello? But we got some folks, if God came, it'd mess up their life, because they got it going the way they want to right now. I may have told this, but I remember years ago I was trying to help some young evangelists. If y'all not figured it out, they've got a jealous bone in my body. Every preacher you'll ever meet that I've ever met, I've tried to help them. I didn't figure we was at war with each other anyway. This little boy, I was trying to help him out, and I was introducing him to people and trying to help him get started. And I wasn't being totally honest, because I told him, so this is a good preacher. I'd never heard him. But I knew he was a good person. And I knew in talking to him he had Bible knowledge, so I figured if he's got that and he's a good man and he loves God, he's a good man. And I heard later he's a better preacher than me. Hello? That don't matter. I mean, hey, what you got? But I'll never forget, he come run up to me at camp meeting, and to this day, he gets around me. He won't talk about his future. He's pastoring now. But he'll come up to me, and he'll start a conversation. I'll say something. He'll say, just shut up, Street. Because he will never be allowed to forget the day he came up. I said, how's it going? He said, man, I got all my weekends booked. I got some revivals. He said, things are wonderful. I got more bookings than I've ever had. Be my luck, the Lord will come. Now, he didn't mean it the way it sounded, but he ain't never going to forget what he said, because he was so busy he didn't want the Lord to come. Amen. Come on, church. Some of y'all got the same problem. You got Christmas made out. If the Lord come on the 24th, it'd mess up all your plans. Amen. But church, we need to get to that place where we understand this world's messed up. See, notice the storm didn't wake Jonah up. That boat's rocking and flipping, the rest of them panicking, throwing stuff overboard, going crazy up there, casting lots and rolling stones and doing all kind of stuff to their gods. Probably some of them over there beating themselves with a chain and cutting themselves, because that's what these people do to find favor with these other gods. You know, I'd hate to know I had to beat myself with a chain and crawl several miles and cut myself for a god that don't even exist. You know, I'd rather know I could just get right where I am, make an altar unto God, call unto him, and believe I got a God that does hear and God does answer my prayer, and I ain't got to kill myself to find favor with him. Oh. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not much into pain. I got to have pain. Me and God ain't talking. Lord. Hello? But the reality is, Jonah's not woke up by all that. These people are messed up by the storm. Jonah down there snoring. And you say, well, preacher, that's not us. Listen to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil with their vessels and with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. You ever read that story? Jesus told it. I had a guy tell me one time, said, well, you know, all Christians are going in the rapture. Read that story. I'm going to shake some of y'all up. But they didn't say they were professing virgins. They was all virgins. So we ain't talking about professing Christians, because he likened them unto the kingdom of God. But there were some of them didn't have oil in the lamp. Some of them didn't have the wick trimmed in the lamp, because they were not ready when the bridegroom came. What happened to them? They got left. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I've been in church all my life. Well, what have you done for me lately? Amen. Come on, church, smile at me. I don't care if you've been living right 40 years. If you ain't where you need to be with God, when the trump of God sounds, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for your socks. These people were not prepared, and because of that, they got left, and they were what God was telling. We in the church need to wake up and realize it is not what I did yesterday or the day before, but it's where I am right now that is between me and God. And I hear God speaking to the church, saying, I stand at the door and I knock, and if any man will open the door, I'll come in unto him. I'll sup with him. I'll minister to him. God loves you. If you just open the door, he wants to have a relationship. But you see, I made this statement before, and I'll make it again, and I may make it from now on. You're only as close to God as you want to be. But if we don't wake up and have a heart-to-heart talk with God, not a head-to-head talk. Come on, church, somebody talk. But I want to tell God what I'm thinking. God already knows what you're thinking. What he wants you to do is tell him how much you love him, how much you need him. And when you do that, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings into your life that are going to transform you. Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. In 1 Corinthians he said, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Romans chapter 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of a sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Hello? See, God understood this generation would sleep. Mark chapter 13, verse 35. He said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or at the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. You know what he's trying to say? Be ready. Amen. Get your mind on God. Get your heart turned toward God. Call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Keep the door between you and God open with a communication, so that you're not caught unaware with what's going on in your life. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Notice this. He didn't get woke up by the storm. He's woke up by the shipmaster. Can I tell you? The shipmaster asked some questions. What's your occupation? Why are you here? Can I tell you, God's trying to make the church wake up and realize why we're here? Can I shake some of you up and make you realize you're not here to be blessed? That's being taught all over the country right now. While you get saved, God keeps you in church to bless you. Church, how dumb is that statement? I mean, we got folks actually getting saved, going to church, thinking all they got to do is open up a bank account and it's just going to get so full, they ain't never going to know what to do with it. And because of that, they'll give everything in their bank account to that preacher that talked about how blessed they're going to be. Come on, church. Ain't some of y'all living, well, preacher, ain't that right? No, it's not. If God wanted to bless me, what is he going to give me in this world better than what I have in the world to come? If all God was worried about my blessings, when I got saved, he'd kill me and take me on to eternity. I had a pastor threaten to do that. y'all got saved and just live right from the day one. I understand. But some of us struggled when we got saved. Come on, church, nod your head. Mark Jacobs and some others there, Wayne Graves and myself, man, we'd get in church and we'd mess up and have to get back in the altar, and we was all preachers. And we was trying to get the living right because we started preaching. We're still working on sanctification and stuff. Y'all didn't have that problem, but we did. The calling didn't change. God called us. We was working on it, but we're still human. There were still things in our life we had to get out of the way. I remember one night Earl Hall, a pastor, walked over in front of us. He said, if I had a pine knot and I knew the Lord wouldn't come while I was doing it, I'd crack y'all's heads and send you on right now while I know you're right. Glory. Amen. Come on, church. I'm just kind of thankful that he didn't get the word from God to go ahead. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I believe God is asking the church world, why are you here? We're not here just to be blessed. We're here because we're supposed to be a light to a darkened world. We're supposed to be somebody to show the world what God looks like when we're working with them and we're talking with them and we're living with them and we're communicating with them. And because of that, God's left us here to let the world know there is a God and there is an ability to live above the things of this world with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And that's why we're here. Could you say amen? The pagans are praying. The Muslims, the Buddhists, they're all praying. Young man, friend of mine, I may have told this, but I'm going to tell it again. He's on an airplane. He don't want to cut up with anybody. Cause I don't know if y'all have ever flown or not, but you really don't want to open up conversations with people next to you till you know who they are. You never know what you're going to get into. And he was sitting there, and a young lady come in, sat down in the outward seat, and he's over by the window. And there wasn't anybody in the seat between them, and they come through taking drink orders and food orders, and he was telling the lady what he wanted to eat and what he wanted to drink, and the young lady said, if you just give me a cup of water, I'll be fine. I'm fasting. Well, he got all excited. He was from an Assembly of God church in Los Angeles heading to an evangelism meeting in New York, and he was headed up there excited. He looked over, and as soon as that lady got away, he said, ma'am, I'm from the Eagle's Nest Church in Los Angeles, California. I'm on my way to David Wilkerson's church for an evangelism explosion event. And said, I was just wondering, you said you're fasting. What church do you go to? She said, I'm from the First Church of Satan. He said, do what? She said, yes, our Lord Satan has called us to a time of fasting and prayer that we might bring down the families of the so-called Christians in this world. And said, while we're praying, they're having fun, and we're going to win. I got to tell you something, church, she's not far from wrong. While we're feasting and having a big time, they're fasting and praying to their God, and they're believing they're going to win. But I got news for you, church. That whole group's already defeated. If we'll just call on our God, there is victory. If we'll just cry out to God, there is a peace that passes all understanding. Could you say amen? Glory. I got to get this thing out. My watch has run out of water again. You see, the biggest tragedy we heard about the other night of not praying is unemployed angels. Can you imagine the unemployment lines that they got in heaven? Brother John talked about the other night, but let's face it, church, we almost at 10% unemployment in America, and it feels like the economy is about to come apart. I imagine they've got stimulus packages all over heaven right now because there's angels over there. I ain't got a thing to do. I mean, I'd like to go down there and help that family, but they don't ever pray anymore. I got a whole community and ain't nobody praying. They got all kind of problems, but they're not praying. I mean, I'd like to help them with their drugs, but until they call on me or call on God and he send me, I can't do anything. Come on, church. You don't pray to angels, you pray to God, but he sends angels. That's the way he's always worked. That's why the devil don't show up at your house. In case some of y'all believe you fight the devil every day, wake up and get in the real world. Why does he want to fight you? He's going to go to top. He's going to mimic God. That's what he's always done. If God sends angels, he's going to send demons. Most of y'all got up this morning, oh, the devil made me late. No, you probably missed your mouth with your water. Or you had to change clothes 1,500 times to get the right ones. Notice there's one person nodding because I'm in trouble when church is over. Glory. She'll get completely dressed. I don't like this. And she's back in there digging the closet for something else. I'm like, let's go. I'm going to buy her all blue dresses. That way ain't no decision. Just put it on and go. Come on, church. Whew, she's smiling. It's really a leer. Yogi, you got that backhoe ready? I may need it. I'll be praying this afternoon. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? Satan is not going to come attack you unless you up in the front. He's not going to fight you unless you're in leadership. If he can send a wimp demon down at your house and shake up your world, why does he need to bother with you? Come on, church. Amen. So we need to understand how this functions. God works the same way. Amen. When we pray, things will happen because God sends angels. What's the occupation of a Christian? What have we forgotten our calling? Church, we're so busy with, especially in Pentecostal churches, we're so busy getting excited about the move of the Spirit, we forget that the reason the Spirit moves is not just to give us doodads. It's not just to make us feel good.
ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the world. If we learn how to pray, God will hear and answer. But when we get a move of the Spirit of God on Sunday night or Sunday morning and God really blesses us, then we ought to be telling the world about what happened. Let them know there is a God that's doing something. Ought to get so excited they want what you got. Amen. You ever notice folks come to church and after a few testimonies they don't want to get saved? Yeah.
Oh, it's been so hard. I tell you, the devil's been all over me.
I mean, who would want to get into something like that? I remember I used to go to church and they'd get up and they'd talk about how bad it was, and I'm going, I got enough trouble. I don't need some more junk. They need to come to church, see people happy to be Christians, excited about living for God, excited about what God's doing in their life. Then they're going to want what you got. Daniel 7:21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given by the saints most high, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Church, do you understand we were sent here for a reason? Take it to the Garden of Eden. What was Adam told? Tend the garden, subdue the land. He was never intended to live right there in that little place where the Garden of Eden was. He was intended to expand that garden to the whole world. Can I tell you, God's plan's not stopped. He just started it through more people. When Jesus Christ came, he came to do what? To save the lost. Amen. Isn't it wonderful he didn't stick with just the children of Israel like he came? But when they wouldn't accept him, he opened it up for all of us. And now he's telling us, tend the garden and subdue the land. We're to take control of the kingdom. We're to subdue the world. And church, listen, if we don't accomplish it sooner or later, he's going to come back and do it himself. But there's going to come a time when every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and the only ones on that earth will only know the true reality of who God is. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, you're crazy. No, I'm not, and I'm going to quit in just a moment. Revelation 8:2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them that had given the seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came of the prayers of the saints ascended before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. God's looking for some Jonah churches to wake up and work in this generation. Hello? Hey, preacher, why don't you just read out of Revelation? I'm closing with this, but I want y'all to hear what happened. The angel's got a censer. It's full of the prayers of the saints. See, we've been praying for years and couldn't get answers. We're trying to figure out why God ain't answered them. Can I tell you? The angel's going to put them on the altar. Our prayers are finally going to God where they belong. They've been going through all kind of things. The devil's been trying to stop them. Come on, church, it's biblical. Daniel prayed, and what happened? The prince of the power of the air tried to stop it. That's Satan himself. He, and all of a sudden, the angel tapped him on the shoulder and said, but today God sent forth the forces of heaven. Amen. And your prayer's coming to pass. I don't care what's been holding up your prayers. Some of y'all been praying for loved ones for years. Can I tell you, it's going to come to pass? You keep holding on. God will hear and God will answer your prayer. There's coming a time in the future when those prayers are going to be placed on the altar. And notice what the angel did. He threw them back into the earth. That meant the prayers are coming back, and they don't come back unfounded. God's going to attend to those prayers, and God's going to begin to answer their prayers. Your loved ones are going to get saved. Your family's going to start to come around. Healings are going to start to take place. And I think it's time some of us realize, if we don't call on God, it'll never happen. But if we'll call unto him, he will answer, and he will send the power of his grace to meet our needs. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, church. I didn't get where I am just by reading books. Everything I am is made up from what I went through to get here. My dad left ministry because of a child dying. And Frida told me she was expected out. I had a real problem because right before she told me she was pregnant, I had a gentleman walk up to me and give me a word. I'll tell you something, church. I don't put a lot of stock in words because I've had too many people give me words that wasn't nothing but words. So I have a real problem. People, I got a word for you. I like what Lorraine Livingston done. A bunch of people asked him for words. He gave him a box of fortune cookies. Said, here, get you one. It's got some wisdom in it. You get a cookie with it. Hello? Don't look at me. If some of y'all come ask me for a word, I may go by the Chinese restaurant and get you one. If God gives me something, I'll tell you. But I can't just pull them off the top of my hat. Hello? And I had people give me words that was right. But I'm very careful about who I listen to. Back in those days, I used to listen to everybody. This guy said, my Lord sent me to tell you the very thing destroyed your father's ministry would get you in the next year. I'm like, this ain't going to happen. We can't have kids. The next week, Frida called telling me she was pregnant. I'll be honest with you, church. The day that baby was born, I didn't want to be close to him that much. I was trying to keep him at a distance because I didn't want to get hooked up. They brought him to the room. I gave him his first bottle. It was 1.5 ounces of milk. I didn't know he wasn't supposed to take but about 1/2 ounce. I got it all down him. He quit. I got it all in him, son. Man, them nurses was upset. Said, we don't want him. I said, well, I can't keep him. They'd take him back. Boy, he'd give them all kind of problems. He cried, carried on. Because he had too much fluid in him. Hello? You know, it's not an accident that 2 months later, now that I'm wrapped up in him, he ends up in the hospital, intensive care. About the same age as my brother was when he died. I get called home from Louisiana, and I see him with needles stuck in all parts of his body. They got him packed in ice, and they're telling me he's not going to make it. I never forget, I went to the chapel and I prayed. I don't think it's an accident. The next morning, we got Pedialyte down here. And next thing you know, they're sending him home saying, we don't know what happened, but it's gone. Amen. And everything was going wonderful. My daughter comes along. She's born in November. I'm at prayer conference. I come home to find my daughter in intensive care at the hospital. She's right at 2 months old. Same old junk. She's got an RSV virus. They got her in a tent with oxygen coming in on her, and they got IVs in the side of her head and both arms and her leg. And I'm in there, and y'all got to understand, I have dual personalities. I'm a pastor, a preacher, but I'm also a daddy. Depending on what you're doing as to which one you meet. You fool with my family, you're going to meet the husband or daddy. Preacher will talk to you later. Come on, church. You go fooling with my family, I'm not going to guarantee you I'm going to be prayed up at the time. Hopefully my religion will hold, but I won't guarantee it if you get on me just right. I mean, I got in that doctor's face. I said, Doc, do something. He's like, I'm doing everything I can. Well, can you do something else? He said, you want me to send her somewhere? I said, no, I just want you to do what you know how to do. This was in the hospital hallway. I'm pretty sure everybody heard us. I was louder than that music Thursday night. I really didn't care. My daughter was in there sick. She was possibly going to die. And the doc says, we got to give her medicine. Has to be administered for so many days. Has to have a respiratory therapist. It's going to cost $4,000-something if this don't break. I said, give it to her. He said, where are you going to get the money? I said, I'll rob a bank. It don't matter. You just get her the loot. Come on, church. Y'all look like y'all ain't never been there. I wasn't worried about where the money was coming from. I wanted her to live. I'd get the money somehow if I got to work the rest of my life. And that doctor had the audacity to look at me and say, have you done what you trained to do? Because in all my getting on his case, I really had not sat down and said, okay, I'm going to pray about this. I remember one night I was in the room praying. The Holy Ghost fell in the room. I I don't think it's an accident. The next day, my little girl took a turn, started getting better. Mom had been praying. When Dad finally got on board, things changed. Can I tell you, church? All my life, I've learned that no matter how bad things get, if I can call on the name of the Lord, I got a God that can answer. Some of you are in terrible storms. Your boat is about to go under. You've been throwing stuff off. You've been trying to tie ropes around the bottom to keep it from coming apart. But can I tell you, if you'll just wake up and call on the name of the Lord, God can calm the seas and put a peace in your heart. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father in heaven, we thank you today, God, for your word. Father God, I believe you to touch this house with your anointing. Holy Spirit of God, let your glory move among us today. God, in Jesus' name, let your glory come down. I hear your word, God. When through Paul's writing, you cry, "Awake, awake, O thy sleeping generation, for the coming of the Lord is nearer than we think it is, even at the door." God, put a heart in us today to cry out to you. A heart, God, to talk to you. God, let us realize today that it is not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit that we are going to overcome. God, have your way. In Jesus' name. Church, I really don't know who I'm talking to this morning. But I believe with all my heart that God's talking to individuals as well as the corporate body of the church. That the storms around us are raging. Some of us has found a way to go to sleep right in the middle of the greatest turmoil of our life. We're walking through the world in a dream. We're alive but unconscious. I believe with all my heart God's trying to shake some of you and say, if you'll call on your God. Notice what the shipman said, arise, call on your God. He then will stop the storm. You know why he's doing that? Because they've been calling them other gods and nothing's happened. They suddenly realize we got to get somebody better. Church, some of you have been trying everything in the world to solve your problem. It ain't happened yet, but if you'll call on your God and begin to cry out to him, I got a God that will hear and a God that will answer. You're here this morning, you want to come to the altar. Talk to him this morning about something in your life, spiritually, physically, financially. You just need to get a door open between you and God. I want you to step out and head up here right now. God wants to touch you. God wants to move in your life. Awake. Awake. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Jesus touch. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Maybe you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe there's just some things happening. You don't know where the answers are coming from. I'm telling you, there is a God that will hear. There is a God that loves you. He wants to bear your burdens. Hallelujah. He knows right where you are. I believe this morning God has sent the Spirit of God to shake some of you. And he's crying out, call unto me. Call unto me. Hallelujah. He stood over the city of Jerusalem and he cried. He said, how oft I would have blessed you. You would not allow it. Church, those people were not wanting God to bless. They just were not opening the door and talking to him. They were closing him and they were shutting him out of their lives. And as long as we're not praying, we're closing God out of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you that will, come help us pray with these that are in the altar. Let's believe God to touch them this morning. Believe God to move in their lives. Touch their hearts. God, if we've ever needed anything, we need to pray. Like never before, we need to cry unto God. Hallelujah.